Hi, everybody, and welcome in. I'm your host of Unapologetic Live, Amla Epinobi, and today we have a very, very special guest on my show that I'm so excited to talk to because I've been following his career, not only really in sports, but in the things that he's been standing up and speaking out against as it surrounds his career and the work that he's been doing. He's the author of a new book called Why I Stand, and his name is Jonathan Isaac of the Orlando Magic. Jonathan Isaac, thank you so much for being on my show today.
Man, thank you for the introduction. But yeah, I'm excited to talk to you, Amala. I'm a fan, and yeah, let's get to it.
Oh, thank you so much. So yeah, let's get right into it. Now, you are currently a star for the Orlando Magic, and you've had quite the beautiful career in basketball. And we've watched as the NBA, from my perspective, has gotten increasingly political. And you sort of came to the forefront of this debate as the George Floyd riots got sparked up, all the protests got sparked up, and the NBA took a turn towards the Black Lives Matter organization, was passing out t-shirts to the players, and a lot of players chose to take sort of what we call now the Colin Kaepernick route and kneel during the national anthem. Now, you decided not to do that, and we are going to show the video of you making that choice. You didn't wear the shirt. You stood during the national anthem. My question here, we'll get to why you did that, but did you anticipate when you entered the NBA that this was going to be something that you would have to do, that you were going to be having any political discussions in your career?
No, not at all. So, I mean, you get into it, you obviously expect to just play basketball. You know, I think it's something that's unfortunate that things have gotten so political that they obviously have worked their way into, you know, everybody's workplace. But this is where we are, so it is what it is.
I'm curious as to the background, how you got to the moment where you stood up. Were there discussions happening in the locker room or behind the scenes that led to this moment? Were there arguments beforehand of you saying, you know, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to go there and stand my ground. What happened there?
So I tried my best in the book to detail everything, but to give you like a snapshot over, once everything happened with George Floyd, there was obviously, it was right around the COVID time as well. So the NBA had gotten shut down. And then once we came back and we were ready to do the NBA bubble, everyone was talking about this. You know, are we going to kneel for the national anthem? What is the league going to do to, you know, to pay respects to the Black Lives Matter movement and organization? They're going to put the Black Lives Matter on the court. They're going to have different things on the back of the jerseys that you can put on. And then for the players, they were saying, we're going to kneel for the national anthem. And as we got to talking about it, a team had already did it in the bubble. And so it was kind of like a domino effect. So after the team did it, we were set to play the next day. And so everybody gets together, the heads of the team got us all together and they say, look, we support you guys. You guys go do what you want to do. And then they left the room and it was just the players there. And so everybody's like, this isn't even a conversation. We don't have a choice. This is something that we have to do. We can't be the only team who doesn't do it, or it's going to make, you know, it's going to be a huge deal. And one of my teammates turned towards me and says, well, what are you going to do, Jonathan? Like almost like he knew I may have a differing opinion. And I said, you know what, fellas, I'm not going to kneel and I'm not going to put that t-shirt on. And then, you know, chaos ensues. Everybody's like, oh my gosh, here we go. And we kind of just left out of the meeting from there.
Okay, so you head out, you go onto the court, and you are the singular person who decides to make this decision to not to wear the shirt, to stand up during the national anthem. What was going through your mind in that moment? Were you worried? Were you nervous at all? Or were you just thinking, this is something I got to do?
I was terrified. I didn't sleep the night before, knowing what was going to happen. And I was on the phone with my pastor the night before, and I'm telling him, like, I don't think you understand how crazy this thing is going to be. One, I hadn't signed my contract extension yet. And so there was, you know, people were getting canceled left and right. So there was possibility of that. And then I just knew, you know, what was going to happen. I knew that one side was going to take everything and make it about the flag. I knew that I was going to be a coon and an Uncle Tom to everybody else on the other side. So I was expecting it. But I just, you know, one of the things that my pastor said to me the night before was, you cannot stand for God and God not stand for you. And so that was something that I walked into the day with and just stood and just kept it moving from there.
That is so beautiful. And I think you're armored with something, too, when you do that. And that is truth. And standing by the truth is one of the most powerful things that you do. And you are the one person who chose to shine a light on that. Now, I'm going to point out something obvious, Jonathan, and I'm going to say, you're black, and I'm half black. And when we do things like this, I know it might be a shocker to you and me both, but when you come out and speak out against something like Black Lives Matter, you mentioned that you got a lot of people saying, oh, you're a coon, you're an Uncle Tom, you're a race traitor, and it's stuff that I imagine both of us get on a day-to-day basis. So let's talk about that. Why would somebody who looks like you not support Black Lives Matter or that message?
Well, it was part of it for me was the tone of the message. You know, to me, it was something that was angry and divisive. And that's not to say that what they were advocating for wasn't something that to me, you know, needed to be advocated for. What happened to George Floyd was tragic and it was wrong. And I shared in that sentiment. But as I got to be around the Black Lives Matter movement and see the people and what they were saying, it was like, man, that I just don't agree with that. And then, you know, learning a little bit more about the organization, I was like, yeah, that's not something that I can support. And so what I tried my best to do was just take a step back and be like, man, what is the right way for me to respond in this moment as an individual? I don't want to go along with a narrative. I don't want to go along with something just because I'm black. I want to be true to myself. And as I looked at my life, I said, man, the gospel of Jesus Christ and the love of Jesus Christ, more specifically, has been the thing that has changed me and supported my life. And I want to share that message to the world in that moment. And so that's what I did. And so it was the overall tone of the message. And I also felt like it was like, because of what happened to George Floyd, there was a moral high ground that, you know, the Black Lives Matter organization and movement took, where it was like, okay, now we have this moral high ground because of what happened to George Floyd. We can now demand everyone to do exactly what we want them to do. And it was like the only way to support Black Lives in the moment was to wear a T-shirt and kneel for the national anthem. And I'm like, man, I disagree with that. That's not the only way to support Black Lives. And it's one thing to do it as a sign and paying homage to what was going on. It's another thing to do it as an order. And so that's what I felt like.
Oh, absolutely. And it feels as though because you're born the way you are, you're placed in a certain box of things that you are meant to represent. And when you came out and broke that box down, I'm sure the world had a lot to say to you. I'm sure there was a lot of hate and a lot of support. Which did you get more of? And did you find young people coming out and going, you know what, Jonathan, I agree with you, but I just couldn't say it out loud?
Yeah, there was a lot of that, but there was definitely more positivity than there was negativity. I expected the negative, and I almost didn't even, I tried my best not to pay attention to it, but the overwhelming support of people who were like, man, that is the message that needs to be shared in this time. Because ultimately, for me, it's a heart issue. It's like, it does racism exist? Absolutely. But racism is not the only thing that plagues the heart of men. And to me, I don't know anything else that can truly change the heart of men other than the gospel. It's not an organization. It's not a movement. It's not a party. So there were definitely people who agree with me, definitely people who disagree with me. But there was definitely a large portion of people who were like, you're saying exactly what I want to say. But because of the moment, it's really tough to do so. And that's a big reason why I wrote the book. Because it's like, yo, like I want people to know my story. I want people to know how I got here and that I wasn't always this person who you would think was this courageous guy. You know, I've really struggled with anxiety over the course of my life and fear and self-insecurity. And as people are reading the book, they're like, this is the guy that stood in the bubble or stood against this and that. It's like, yeah, but I've developed that way over having a relationship with Christ and just continuing to point people there and to give people the full story.
I love it because everybody, they probably look at you and go, well, he is just a hero and there's nothing that harms him. There's nothing that keeps him up at night. But we all do have those things. We have our insecurities. We have our weaknesses and they're ones that we have to overcome in order to get our message across and to display our moral value. And this was not the only time you've fallen into controversy. You did so again with the whole COVID-19 vaccination thing, another thing that came along and plagued the MPA, and you stood out despite things that like Stephen A would say on ESPN. You stood up and you said, no, I'm not going to do it, and you don't have the right to force me to do so. And you are lucky enough in that your career did not suffer, it seems, although a lot of people have had the exact opposite experience. What did that decision look like? Because this was yet again you coming to a fork in the road and having to stand up for yourself.
Yeah, well, I kind of took the same approach of around that time, which is just like, okay, let me take a step back. Let me see what's going on. And right off the bat, there was definitely just a sense for me, like kind of discerning the moment and just saying something is off. with the way that everything was being pushed. It seemed political. It seemed like there was an agenda. You know, you had the people jumping online and demeaning everybody who was even hesitant or asking questions about the vaccine. And so I was like, you know, I don't know if this thing is right for me. And then once I started to dig a little deeper into the science, I'm like, okay, it's a 99.97 survival rate. I am in the best shape of my life. I don't have any comorbidities. I'm like, I'm good. And then I just don't see the wisdom in putting something into my body that's not going to stop me from contracting the virus or transmitting it in the first place. And so I was like, you know what, this thing isn't for me. And then even more so, you know, as you see people's religious and medical exemptions being denied, people losing their jobs, I was like, this is a moment that I want to take and stand up for those people. Yeah, I could take the vaccine and honestly, probably I'd be fine. I wouldn't have any issues. But because of what was going on, I felt it was principle to stand up and be, you know, a mouthpiece for the people who are struggling to be one for themselves.
And you weren't the only one. Kyrie Irving did the same. Draymond Green did the same. Did you guys find community in that decision that you made? Were there ever any discussions between the three of you about moving forward and in fighting this?
No, I didn't have any conversations with anybody in the league or any other sport. It was something that I kind of just had respect from a distance. And I was like, man, even when, you know, when Draymond came out and honestly, even LeBron, when LeBron came out and said what he said, it was like, okay, you know, to me, that's common sense. It should be everyone's decision and choice. And this isn't something that's as easy as 1, 2, 3. There's a lot of nuance to it. You know, people are affected by it in different ways. And so, yeah, I just respected it from a distance.
That's great. And I think you really became a role model for a lot of people, like you said, who were dealing with that in their personal lives, who don't have the platform that you have to do these things and to say these things and to have that message elevated. And I imagine that's really terrifying for them. Now, you've already been through two bouts of major controversy in the NBA. I imagine at some point there's going to be a third and you will be there to stand up for it. Do you think that the politicization of sports is a good thing? Do you think it's sustainable? Do you think an organization like the NBA can continue to come out with these very polarizing political takes and still have the same viewership, the same fan base? Are people going to enjoy sports as much when they become political beacons like this?
Yeah, no, I think that when it comes to organizations or, you know, whatever it is, you know, people that have a realm in entertainment, it's I think it's to their benefit to stay in the middle. I think that people from all walks of life and all, you know, both political aisles, they watch sports and they enjoy sports, and I think that should be a time to watch sports. And I think that what has made it tougher is because everything has been made into a moral fight, and one side is deemed the other side is evil or racist or this or that. It's like, if you wanted to take the vaccine, if you're a good person, and if you had any type of hesitancy, you're evil. When it's not just two people who disagree on an issue, and we can stay in the middle and enjoy sports, you know, while we do it. And so I think it's tough. I think it sucks that, you know, the world is kind of going in this manner. But no, I don't think it's sustainable, because there are so many people on the other side of a lot of issues who watch sports, and, you know, over time they're going to be turned off to watching it. And so I think that the NBA and other organizations should try their best to stay in the middle. I think it's worthwhile for the business of the league and whatnot. But at the end of the day, I don't own it, and so they get to make the decisions they want to.
Right, and luckily you'll still be there when they do make those decisions, because I imagine there were people who came for your career and tried to attack you and take your seat. Was that something that you experienced in the wake of all this? Were there any discussions of you're not going to be able to play anymore and you can't have this career anymore? Was that something you had to deal with?
Not really. Maybe outside of just social media and people wanting me to be traded. But other than that, no, like nothing from anybody higher up that said anything. The team has been, you know, supported me in you know, me being an individual and being able to voice my opinions. And even going back to your same question, I think that players and people who have a platform should be empowered to voice their opinion. So if you're on one political aisle and you're a player in the NBA and you want to use your personal platform to share a message, I think that's perfectly fine. I just think that when the NBA co-signs it or goes in one direction, then it becomes harmful to the overall. But no, I didn't feel, even though there was, may have been a fear in the back of my mind that, you know, this may be the end, you know, never know, you know, people get, you know, canceled all the time and everything like that. And so, but I didn't feel necessarily any pressure that I was going to lose my job.
Oh, I love to hear that, because it's not a safety net that that everybody has. And to sort of wrap things up here, your book is called Why I Stand. The videos of you at press conferences defending yourself, the video of you standing in the line of all your fellow players and being the singular one to be there to make the statement that you're making. You're alone in a lot of ways and a lot of the things you do. I'm wondering, behind the scenes, who's there for you? Who's supporting you in this? Was there a person in particular that you really leaned on through all of this turmoil that you've been going through?
Yeah, I definitely have a family of people, and you'll learn that once you get a chance to grab the book. But you know, Doc is a big one. He's like the angel of the book. He's my pastor, and we have a great relationship. He's like a mentor and a friend for me. And so he was the one I was on the phone call with probably before every one of these moments. You know, talking me through it and just giving me wisdom. And then, you know, I've been married for 7 months now, and so my wife has been huge and just letting me know that she's always with me. And even though I'm standing alone, I'm not standing alone. And then I have my family and also my church family. And so I've been okay, and they've been great in just keeping me focused and focused on the positive and just, you know, keep moving forward.
I love that. That's fantastic. And it's wonderful to know that you have people who are constantly there for you and supporting you. And congratulations on your new marriage. That is so great.
Thank you so much.
Last question. What is your message to young people right now who are watching everything that's going on in the world, seeing all this stuff, and feeling like they need to be silent, they need to be quiet, or they have no avenue, no outlet? What would you say to them, and how did you overcome those same sort of internal struggles that you had?
Yeah, I would just say that there really is hope. As the world continues to get darker, the necessity to stand up for what you believe in is only going to become more necessary, but at the same time, it's only going to become harder and harder to do. And so I would just encourage them to check out my story and see that, you know, the courage that I've developed to trust God at his word and to stand up for what I believe in is because I've had these small wins behind the scenes that have helped me to trust him more and lean on him and just continue to fight, you know, hold the line and continue to stand up for what you believe in and be empowered and be encouraged. And when one person does it, it makes way for everyone else to do it as well. And so for me, the book is so much more than just about standing in the bubble and refusing a vaccine. It's really about my journey and my story and how I got to those moments in the first place and how through a relationship with Christ, I've been able to grow as a man and grow into myself and become who I am today and still, you know, striving to become what God has created me to be. And just I would just reiterate the message of love, like the God's love and the world's love is completely different. You know, like the world loves you until you make a mistake. They love you until, you know, you don't agree with them. You don't even look like them. But God's love is unconditional. It loves first. And I believe that that is the love that we need to show in order to win people and ultimately to change the world. If we could choose to love people the way that God loves us, which is in spite of our sin, in spite of our faults, in spite of our differences, then, you know, we can make real change.
I love that. It is amazing. And through all the division and polarity, love is one thing that I think we can all agree that everybody needs, everybody wants, everybody desires, and it's something that ties us all together. And I love that now your message is going to be immortalized in this book. Where are people who watching this, where can they go and buy this book? Where can they support you? How else can they support you?
Yeah, I got it right here too, just so you guys can see it. You can head to Amazon and type in Why I Stand. Go grab it. I just encourage you to do so, to learn about me and my story and how I got here. But Amazon, books and Barnes and Nobles, Books a Million, but Amazon really helps.
And amazing. Well, Jonathan,
an audiobook as well.
Okay. Are you the one reading the audiobook? Mm-hmm. This is important.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Okay, guys. So you get to hear the words right from the horse's mouth. Amazing. John, thank you so much for taking the time to be on the program today and share your story. I know you're a very busy man and you got a lot going on. So I appreciate you just bringing your message to people. It's so important.
Yeah. This has been great, Amala. Thank you so much.
Thank you guys so much for watching this interview with Jonathan Isaac of the Orlando Magic. How insane is that? And I hope you guys go out and support him either by following his journey or getting his book, Why I Stand, because he's another person who is doing the work that needs to be done and standing up in the face of so many others not choosing to be as brave and courageous as he is. And I think that's wonderful. If you guys like us having guests on the show, if you like Unapologetic Live in general or PragerU in general, you can support us in all the work that we're doing by donating to us on our website, prageru.com/donate. And if you donate between now and Memorial Day, you are doing something very special because we have a generous donor who has decided to match your donations 2 times. Super, super big deal. And you can donate as small as you like, as big as you like. We do not care. And all of the all of the proceeds that we get are going to go towards the content that we're creating and all of the work that we're doing here at PragerU, fighting the culture war, fighting the battles for you, making sure your kids are educated in a way that is good and promotes American values and traditionalism and critical thinking. And most of all, we are fighting the woke garbage that you are hearing day in and day out. So thank you so much for supporting this show. If you want to do so through donation, that would be great. But if you can't support us through donations, please like, subscribe, click the notification bell to be notified whenever we put up a new video and when we go live, which is every single weekday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. I love talking to you guys. I'll be reading your chats, reading your comments, and have a fantastic day. See you tomorrow.